Hello, everyone. I'm Jude. I'm the intern at Mosaic Church, as Johnny said, which just pretty much means I'm Simon and Johnny's minion at the moment. That's why I'm up here today. what I actually do is I've helped out at Little Bears on a Thursday morning, some youth and kids work, and I run our student group too at the church. I went to university in Bognor. I studied esports. If you're confused on what that is, you could just ask me afterwards. I can't explain it now. It's too complicated. and I was saved in my second year when I was 19, and I was baptized here when I was 20 in my third year. Before I begin my reading and going on with Jonah, I wanted to ask you guys a question before we go in. And that is... Oh, can I go back, Linda? Thank you. Who do you love even when they make you angry? I've got some great examples right here. I've got me and my sisters in the left. So that's Ruby and Heidi. We're always making each other angry. That is right at a dinner time where we probably have argued all dinner at a Thai restaurant. Mum and Dad are nodding their heads, yes. But, you know, even though we annoy each other and make each other angry, you know, I still love them. They're my family. And then right there, that's Tom and Roshan. They're my housemates at the moment. And, you know, a house with only one bathroom is going to make you angry when they're having the infinite shower glitch, which means they're just in there for too long. and I want to go in and go to the toilet. But, you know, even though they do stuff to annoy me, I love them. They're my friends. They're my family. I live with them. So moving on, I'm going to be reading through Jonah 1. I want you guys to think about that whilst I read through this passage. I've done all my reading, unfortunately, in the ESV. So I've put it up on the board so you guys can read along too if you find it difficult to read in the NIV. Yeah, Jonah 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go out to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord held a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to their God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came up and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. They then said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come up upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. They then said to him, "What shall we do to you, that the sea may quieten down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quieten down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to the dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, has done it as you pleased." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. So that's all I'm reading up to. I've missed the part where he's gets swallowed by the fish straight afterwards. But I just, like, there was a lot of interesting things to unpack right there. And today we're going to be looking at one big theme, which is running away from God. And my first point is going to be running from the truth. In verse 1, we get a quick sort of backstory on who Jonah is, and we get told who his dad is, which is really interesting because his dad actually is only ever mentioned in association with Jonah. So he's mentioned here in Jonah 1, and then 2 Kings 14 he's mentioned, and it only says, you know, Jonah, the son of Amittai. So why does the Bible mention Amittai to us? Well, normally names in the Bible have meaning, so what does Amittai and Jonah mean? Amittai... means truth, it does, and Jonah derives from a Hebrew word Yonah, which is dove. So in Jonah chapter 1 verse 1, it introduces us to Jonah, this prophet, saying he's the dove from truth. this got me thinking of the importance of doves in Israel's story so far, and when a dove has sent a message before. So we can think about Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark, the dove was sent to see if the sea has dried up, the big flood that dried up. And this is like a message to Noah to be like, oh yeah, you know, you're saved. You know, you can now walk around on the land. He's then informed by God in verse 2 to go to Nineveh and confront them with the truth, that they are evil. Nineveh was the capital city to the Assyrian Empire at the time, which were enemies of Israel. So God's asked Jonah to the dove from truth, you know, to spread that truth to Nineveh, an enemy of God's people. Because Jonah is a prophet from truth, you know, he goes to Nineveh and he gets up and he tells them that they're evil. They all repent. The end. No, that doesn't happen. Not yet anyway. He doesn't get there yet. In verse 3, Jonah hears what God says and he runs. He doesn't just run. He thinks of the furthest place possible to run to, which is Tarshish. And he goes there and it says, away from the presence of the Lord. Not only is it the furthest place possible that Jonah knew, but it was in the complete opposite direction. So I've got a map right here. As you can see, Israel is sort of bottom left. Assyria and sort of Nineveh is going east right there. And Tarshish is way off the map, complete opposite direction to where Nineveh is. What's really interesting about the locations right here is, as we can see, is Tarshish is west and Nineveh is east. Normally in the Bible, in the Old Testament especially, we see that going east is away from God. So in the exile from Judah to Babylon. Judah's on that map, and same with Babylonia right there. As we can see, the exile when God's people are being arrogant and they're ignoring him and they're doing stuff to disobey him, they get exiled to Babylon right there. And then same with in the story of Cain and Abel. Cain kills Abel. He's disobeyed God. And right there, he settles east to the Garden of Eden, which is in Nod. That's in Genesis 4:16. Now, Jonah continues that story with, you know, Assyria and Nineveh having this sort of evil place. You know, it's away from God's people. This is not good, Assyria and Nineveh. But going away from God's people, going away from people that aren't God's people, doesn't necessarily mean that you're striving towards God. It doesn't mean you're doing the opposite thing. Right, where we can see there is that he goes away and he's still ignoring God's message. This has me thinking about how we deliver our truth. Are we excellent at talking to other Christians about how we deliver the gospel and not so great at talking to godless people about the gospel? What is our Nineveh that to Jonah that in our lives at this moment? As I was saying at the beginning, I've been helping out at Little Bears, and I'd say that's one of my Ninevehs, not just because of the 8:30 wake-up that I'd run away from any day of the week, but I find it really difficult to talk to parents about their children. It's not very relatable for me. It's not something I can, you know, I'm 21, I'm not really thinking about kids right now. There's conversations don't pop up where I'm talking about the gospel and church and Jesus to them and showing them how important it is to me. But like Jonah, I'd run away from this instantly if I knew it wasn't God calling me to do this and I'd do this task for him. I don't know exactly what your Nineveh could be. Maybe it's delivering the gospel to your work environment, to your family. Or maybe you've heard Andy talk about prison ministry here and you think to yourself, that would be interesting, but it seems difficult and scary. Andy doesn't hurt anyone, don't worry. It's not that scary. But, you know, maybe that's exactly what, and you're right. You know, that's what Jonah was thinking right here. He was running away from Nineveh because it's scary. It sounds difficult. But he ran away from God's mission. God sent him there and he ran away. And you see how it led him. He got thrown in the sea afterwards. Where are the godless people in your life that you're running away from? And running away from spreading the truth to. Now, moving on to my next point, which is running from responsibility. Now, after Jonah runs away from delivering the truth to Nineveh, God hurls a great wind upon the sea, which causes all the mariners on the boat to cry out to their gods and lighten the ship by throwing away their cargo in verse 5. Jonah decides that in this moment it's the greatest time to fall asleep, actually. Whilst everyone's fighting for their lives, he's just going to have a nice nap. Jonah's not informed the mariners yet that this was his fault, but he knows that it was him. And instead of helping them get out of this mess he created, he avoids responsibility and sleeps. Specifically, he goes down to sleep. In the story of Jonah, there's been a lot of emphasis on him going down. It says at the beginning he goes down to Joppa, and he goes down into the inner part of the ship to sleep. So it's this idea of Jonah digging this hole, sort of metaphorically and physically, for his actions, especially as God's first words to him were, "Arise and call out to Nineveh." And all he has done is dug himself a hole downwards, which is then what the captain tells Jonah. He says, "Arise, call out to your God." I can imagine Jonah right now thinking, "Oh, funny, God also told me to arise, and now you're asking me to call upon him. What should I do?" And then he just decides to not say a word. Great from Jonah, really helpful. And what's even more surprising about Jonah not saying a word so far is that he's a prophet. This whole story is about a prophet. They're supposed to speak God's message to people, and he's not said anything so far, and he's gone in a boat, he's gone to sea, he's fled, and then he's not even said a word. Jonah keeps on digging holes and avoiding helping because he is running from his responsibilities, even when the situations keep on worsening. As Jonah runs from his responsibilities, his life spirals downwards. Sometimes we can feel similar when we run from the responsibilities God gives us. What are some responsibilities God gives us? Well, we can think straight to the obvious and think about our prayer life. How is prayer our responsibility? In one of my training sessions I did recently, someone described prayer as like a party God started from the beginning of time, and we just opt in to join. So it's our responsibility to actually join into that party and actually get involved in that conversation with God, because he's always there for us. Now, when we neglect our prayer life, it can eventually catch up with us and show us the spiritual hole we dig ourselves, like Jonah dug himself. One of the students I've had, we're doing a session through the Sermon on the Mount at the moment with the students. We're going through Matthew 5-7, and I let one of them lead a discussion, and they chose to do it on prayer and prayer places. They were saying to me when preparing, you never see a married couple never speak to each other. So why should we never speak to Jesus? Or maybe you think, once a day, it's fine. At night we can speak to Jesus. But when do you see a married couple just speak to Jesus only once a day? I think we should spend more time in prayer with Jesus. Maybe you feel your spiritual practices are in a good state, but you struggle with your heart's desires. Stuff like lust, anger, greed, and pride can take over, and you might fail to resist it, but God gives us the responsibility to tackle these sins with his guidance. And maybe it's incredibly difficult for you to remove them from your lifestyle, but God's given so many people here, right here in front of you, that can help you. And, you can pray with them, and they will be able to ask God for guidance too to help you out in those situations. Which responsibilities does God give you that you run from? Now, moving on to my next point, which is running from ourselves or our identity in Christ. After lots were casted, the mariners started their interrogation on Jonah. It says in verse 8 that they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation and where do you come from? What is your country and what people are you?" Now, he says to them, his response is, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the God of heaven who made the sea and dry land." But does Jonah answer all the questions that the mariners give to him? He asks, "What's your occupation?" He fails to mention that he's a prophet. He then gets asked, "Where do you come from?" He also fails to mention he's from Israel. He gets asked, like the last country, "What is your country?" He fails to mention that. And then finally, he says, "What people are you?" And he answers that he's a Hebrew and he fears the Lord. The response from Jonah, even though it avoids the questions asked to him, is an important turning point in this narrative. He's actually spoken. This prophet has finally spoken, which is really strange because that's what he's supposed to do. It's taken him this long to get there. At this point in the story, Jonah isn't just denying his identity given by God, but he's using his words. He's using his lack of words to show that he doesn't want anything to do with God's message. The response from the mariners show us how important the prophet's words are. As soon as Jonah speaks about the Lord, they're all exceedingly afraid as they know he's fleeing from him. This isn't necessarily tied to running from truth, responsibility, or identity, but right here, the mariners can see when Jonah is running from God. I think that's quite apparent when we are running away from God, that when people see it in our hearts, they see it in our lives, and they can notice it. And I think there's a big responsibility from us when we see other Christians run away from God to tell them, make accountable to them. Then the mariners inquire to Jonah how to stop the storm, and he says to them, without avoiding any sections this time, pick me up and hurl me into the sea, and then the sea will quieten down for you. For it is because of me this great tempest has come upon you. This at first glance could be like, oh, Jonah's doing great. You know, he's finally not stopped avoiding the questions. You know, he's sacrificing himself to save everyone. He's a great guy right now. What a great guy Jonah's become all of a sudden. But what was Jonah doing in the first place? He was running away from Nineveh. I think he realized right there that if he gets thrown overboard, he doesn't have to go to Nineveh anymore. It's a bit extreme, but I think he was especially thinking that. It was self-fulfilling. Jonah mirrors to us how we run from who we are. Have there been times where someone's asked you what you've done over the weekend and you thought to not say about going to church? It just hasn't came into your mind. I can say I have, maybe not intentionally, but sin instinctively sends us on the path to avoid our identity in Christ. When I'm with my non-Christian friends, I find myself downplaying how important my faith is in Jesus. And it just doesn't show who I am. It's like Jonah, I am just running away from how God has changed my life. And it damages my friends' views and non-Christians' views on who Jesus actually is and what he does. You could be really loud and proud in Christ and do really nice things, as Jonah did, right? Yeah, you know, he's sacrificing himself to save them all. He's being really kind to them all in this situation. He's helping them. He's like Jonah, we could be charitable, super friendly, really respectful to people. Apart from our Nineveh, where we would, like Jonah, would ultimately want to run away from it. Those godless people we don't want to talk to. We hide our identity in Christ from them. Where are you running away from your identity in Christ? After all that running away from God, what seems like the only solution, I'd say it's to run towards God. After the mariners failed to outrun the storm, they turned to God and called out, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood for you. O Lord, have done as it pleased you. Then they threw Jonah overboard and feared the Lord, offered sacrifices and made vows. The mariners show us the answer from running from God is to turn towards him and run to God instead. While we can dwell on the convictions we might have reading Jonah, God shows his grace through the story. Even later on in Jonah, it says, you know, after he was swallowed by the fish, he prays to God in the fish and he is saved, showing us yet another moment where God is right there and when we turn and run towards him instead. So like Jonah, the not-so-significant prophet, we also can be like the, we could also be like the mariners. We were like the mariners, sorry. We were like them at one point. Godless people who need saving. And Nineveh to some. And while we did things to annoy God, make him angry, like I was saying at the beginning, my sisters who made me angry, my friends who made me angry, like we make God angry all the time by disobeying him, he still loves us all the time. And he sent his son to bear our sin on that cross and conquer death. And that's been available to all of us today. It says in Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. So know that when you are on this path from to running towards God, it's actually God there running with you. He's got his strength. He's helping you out in that running. Just before I end, I just want to recap what we can take from Jonah 1. Even though we might be running from God in many areas like Jonah, God is right there behind us. That's running, whether it's running from the truth, running from our responsibility, or running from our identity in Christ, God's grace outruns it all. I'm going to invite the band up now, and I'll pray over everyone, and if anyone has anything after I finish praying whilst the band are playing their next song and they need prayer for anything, I'll be over there, maybe with a few other people, that would be great too. But I'll start my prayer now. Dear God, I pray that instead of running away from you, Lord, we start running towards you, Lord. I pray that unlike Jonah, whenever we see difficult times, we can run right towards you. We can ask for your grace, Lord. You are always there behind us. I pray that when we move on from this, that we don't just sit there and dwell in our convictions of what Jonah or anything from the Bible particularly says. We can use it to give us sort of power and to tackle these things. Don't make us sad about our wrongdoings. Show us the beauty of how Christ has saved us all, Lord. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.